All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity, Pastor Clear. And Pastor Clear sent a text out or email out to the staff and said, basically, it says some of the administrative staff, hey, would you like to preach? And I enjoy preaching, and I think it's because I've been an assistant pastor now for 13 years, and I feel like I have a pastor's heart, and I care for people. And I think in part it's because I had a pastor that cared for me. And I think about all the time when I walk through the hall. I tell the kids this. When I walk through the halls at night during lockup, this past week I had lockup and I walked through. And every time I walk through a spot, just memories flood my mind of what God did for me in this school. And a matter of fact, I see Jake Deal there. Yes. His class was like the class my class idolized. And our goal was always to outdo the class of 2000. But very good to see you, Jake, and appreciated his leadership. He was a great, I felt like you were a great leader, by the way, when you were in school. I really respected you and want you to know that. But I walked through these hallways, and just the memories really do flood my mind and just what God did for me here. And so, I want to share a lesson with you tonight that I truly believe can help our church, but not just our church, but can help us in Christianity. And I titled this lesson, Who or What is Hindering You? And I know you've heard many messages probably on the subject of this, but I might be taking just a little different route here. But take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5, we'll look at verses 1 through 7, and you can remain seated here. But while you're turning to that, in Galatians chapter 5, basically, Apostle Paul is addressing the church of Galatia and reminds them that there were false teachers out there that were trying to cause them essentially to err from the faith and go back to practicing Judaism. And so he continues in this chapter to express several themes. In verses 2 through 12, he emphasizes how the church should practice practical godly living. Then he continues to describe the constant battle and struggle that we have between the flesh and the spirit. And he names those different things in verses 19 through 24. And then he finishes off the chapter by telling us the church to learn spiritual discipline and keep fighting. But we're going to focus on verse 7, but I want to give you the context of it. So let's read it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. The Bible says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." I want you to remember that word. "Wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And this verse you've all heard here. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" You read that word there, who did hinder you? But I would submit to you, it's not only just a who always. A lot of times it's several things that hinder us. Hinder us from what? Hinder us, I believe, from enjoying the liberty that God has given us in Christ. Under the sound of my voice, I believe that there are a majority of Christians. I spend a lot of time counseling, a lot of time dealing with people, and the majority of Christians are not happy in their Christian walk. Did you hear what I just said? They are not happy in their Christian walk. Yes, they know the right words to say. If I go up to the average person in church and I say, "How are you doing, brother?" It's going to be, "I'm doing well. God's been good. Look at God. Look at what he's done in my..." Most people say that. But the reality is, a lot of people say things because they want to cover up the pain and the hurt that's going on in their hearts. And that's natural for us to do. I know many times where I've walked through the hallways and someone said, "How are you doing?" "I'm doing great." Because that's what I should say. That's how we feel. But the reality is, a lot of times, we have things that are hindering us or holding us back from enjoying Christ. If you indulge me, I'm going to grab a microphone here. Sorry, I like to walk around when I preach a little bit here. But I hate the ear thing. It just annoys me. But anyways, first off here, when we think about this idea of being hindered, many times, if you're following along, my first point is simply this. People hinder us. I would say those we spend time with are associations. And while you think about people, I want to ask you, who is influencing you and what are you listening to? a lot of times what the people that are around you, they really do hinder you from going forward for God, but they hinder you because you allow them to. And sometimes those voices can even be people who are in church with you. But so many times I've watched Christians, they allow what people say. An example would be this. We sit in a church. The reality is this. There's people who gossip about other people in churches. Gossip will hinder you from going forward in your life. We know it, but we don't always push back on it. An example would be this. I've had people say to me before, well, God bless them, but you know such and such. Like the God bless them actually makes it better. But what they're doing is they're saying, okay, here's this stuff about this person. Well, that stuff, you keep listening to that, it'll make you bitter pretty quick. It'll make you struggle pretty quick. The reality is this. In a church this size, there's stuff that goes on all the time. There's no perfect lives in here, amen? Not any of them. And so instead of uplifting our brothers, we end up, a lot of times it becomes a gossip session. Well, that's not good. That's going to hinder your growth. But in addition to that, sometimes it's other people who are just influencing you. We have a lot of young people in here tonight, and I mention this in the Christian school all the time. A lot of times your friends determine a lot about you, who you have around you. I think about when I was in First Baptist School here. I'm so thankful for the people I had. I'm just going to give you a list of some of them. I had a girl in my class, Brittany Markley. Her dad was the assistant pastor here. She was a godly young lady, and I watched that girl stand up against that which is wrong. I mean, I was like, whoa, she was a better preacher than any of us. You know, she was great. I had Austin Taylor in my class. He's okay. He's no Francie, but we'll take him. All right? Hope you hear that, Austin, at Pensacola. But I love Brother Austin. I remember graduation night. We had just heard the preaching, and we were getting ready to go. We wanted to go bowling as a class. And so back in those days, I think there was a bowling alley somewhere over here in Rosemount, Farmington, area right in between there. And so we get there, and as soon as we get there, there's some drunk people stumbling out of there, so on and so forth. And we're getting ready to go in, and Austin Taylor runs to the front of the line. He says, guys, wait, we can't go in there. And I remember I was thinking, dude, we're just going to go bowling. He's like, we can't go in. We just graduated from a Christian school. And what would it look like us going out into a place like that when it's acting like this? I had in that class Eric McKay. We were at a party of a class one time, not our class, but a different class. And I remember distinctly we were sitting in the basement of someone's house watching a movie. And I remember this not so good movie came on. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? And I'm sitting there, and I remember looking at Eric McKay, and we're across the room from each other, but we're not going to say anything. Like, you know, we didn't feel like we were going to at least. And I remember at the same time we got up and said, sorry, we can't watch this, and we went upstairs. And I remember as soon as I went upstairs to the house, I was thinking, what a loser I am, and I will never go back to any of the cool parties again. And I remember thinking that, and Eric stood up with me, and we walked out. And it was amazing. Everyone that was down there followed us upstairs and stopped watching the movie. I'll never forget it. Not because I was so godly. It was actually the pressure from my other friend across from me who I knew was godly too. He just looked at me. I had Catherine Foster in my class. Godly. Great example. If my daughters hear this, if you turned out like Catherine Foster, Jada Maya, Jordan Malia, I'd be one happy man. That girl was a great example to me. And I could go down the list. I had the Sullivans in my class, godly girls. I could just go on the list. You know what? It's amazing. All those people are in church today. Hey, those people encouraged me to do what's right. The associations helped me. It wasn't because I was so godly necessarily, because I wasn't, but the people around me. And I say to you, young people and old people alike, who you hang around is going to either help you or hinder you. Secondly here, we let circumstances hinder us, good and bad situations. So many times, circumstances cripple people. And let me just say this. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Bad things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen. But you can't let either one of them deter you from what you are supposed to do for God. Some people let the good decisions, the good things, cause them to stop seeking God. And then some people let the bad things also cause them to stop seeking God. When the reality is, no matter what we go through, we can't let that hinder us. We got to keep going forward. I know it's so simple to say it, but the reality is we've got to put it into practice, because so many people let the circumstances. So, you know, somebody's going to pass away. Somebody's going to be hurt in some way. But can I just say this? In a church, somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to say something to offend you. That's going to happen. But if you let that hinder you, at the end of the day, that is on you. It's on you. Now, I will say this. I believe every one of us ought to watch what we say and ought to be kind. The Bible talks about as a shepherd. One thing that my pastor, home church, really preached into me is this: be a gentle shepherd. Gentle. If I'm leading a ministry, I want to be gentle to the people underneath me, because guess what? I am no better than them. I am simply just put in a place to help be a leader to them. And so it matters how I treat them. That means if I have a student in my class, I try to treat my students with respect. Because at the end of the day, and many of my students are sitting in here, I try to treat them with respect, because guess what? I'm no different than them, really. And I need to be a gentle shepherd. And you need to be gentle in what you say, too. You got to think about it. And then next year, fear. And I'm not talking about fear and just I'm scared, but I'm specifically saying fear of total surrender to Christ. This hinders many people. There are some people, you've lived this way for so long, you are scared to surrender to Christ in your life because you don't know what a life like that looks like. That makes sense to you? You're so scared to surrender to God. This is young people and old people alike. You're so scared to surrender to God's will, to God's desires, because you don't know what a life looks like. I've had people look at me in the face and say, but if I give up such and such, I can't imagine what my life would be like. You might just be happy. And young people, old people alike, everyone hear this, but if there's something in your life that's holding you back and you're afraid to serve the Lord, can I tell you, don't be afraid to serve the Lord. But can I tell you why some people are afraid to serve the Lord? Sometimes it's in part because the people that are serving the Lord, we don't always reflect Christ very well. And that's the truth. I'm constantly reminded that as a parent, I can preach and teach and say all these things to my kids, but at the end of the day, they're watching how I walk and how I handle them and how I do things. And that a lot of times determines whether they follow the Lord or not. I'm not saying that's the only thing, but there's a huge part in that. And you've got to think about that. I look at Jesus Christ with his disciples. Jesus led gently. He really did. He led gently. And I'm sure he could have called them out many times. There's sometimes he did have to call them out. But there was a balance in how he led. But don't be afraid to surrender to Christ. Number four, don't let your intellect or your academic achievement hinder you. I've watched a lot of people. You go to college, you get a degree. Do not let that hinder you from following God and trusting God. A lot of times, kids who have great intellect, adults who have great intellect, they struggle in the area of faith. They struggle in the area of faith. Why? Because it's not logical to me. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't compute. Can I just tell you, if you had a God that fit in your logical box, he would cease to be God. So what type of God do you want? I want a God that far surpasses my human understanding, a God that defies those things. And we know we have one, Jesus Christ. He performed miracles. He did different things. The fact that you're saved is a miracle. How does a man transform and change from what he used to be? What other powerful thing do you know of that can stop somebody who is dead in sin? Somebody who was stuck in drugs, somebody who was stuck in any type of sin you can think of, and then the gospel all of a sudden does something to them. Boy, that's the type of Christ or type of God that I want. Somebody that makes a difference and makes a change in a person's life. That's the Christ that we want and desire. Don't let your intellect hinder you from what you know is right and true. It's amazing. We get a degree from the university of you know where, or this place, or that where, or anywhere, everywhere, right? And we allow that to hinder us. We forget about God. How many kids have I seen? I know what I heard in church, but I've grown up past those fairy tales. All right. I suppose the people that taught you, man, there's nothing else we could do but teach at a Christian school because we didn't know what we were talking about. And that's okay. I always say to kids, you do you. Hey, I don't got to answer to God for your decisions. All I can do is just put it out there for you. And might I even say this, young people that are getting ready to graduate, I hope you don't let your intellect go to your head. I hope you don't. I hope you use your intellect to further the gospel of Christ. And then finally here, I want to spend most of my time on this point, which is we are hindered sometimes by our religiosity. Our religiosity. In the passage we read, Apostle Paul talked about the word liberty. You look back at verse 1, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. A life in Christ is freedom. It's not bondage. And then if you jump back to verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? That you should not obey the truth. What I'm going to say to you tonight, I think, is so vital. It's the most important point. What about us who are in church and we're following the Lord? Maybe we're not living crazy. We're not living foolishly. But the thing that might be hindering us is our religiosity, like the Pharisees. What do you mean, Brother Sean, by that? I mean that a lot of Christians live in bondage. Bondage to traditions. Bondage to perceptions, what they think people are going to think about them. And they forget about the Word of God. I'm going to say something to you tonight. It's not popular to say always, but it needs to be said more often. Guys, I know Pastor Clear says this, but not in every church. The Bible is the most important thing. And we need to look at what's clearly outlined in the Bible, and let's preach and teach that. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Look at what's clearly outlined in the Bible and preach and teach that. I have watched a generation of people leave church for that very point. I'm telling you, I know there's a lot of well-meaning people who are trying to help people to go forward in their life, but sometimes we can become like a Pharisee. And as Jesus said, you are proselytizing people, but you're making them a twofold child of hell, worse than yourselves. Did you hear what I'm saying? I think about the story where Jesus, the disciples saw this other group of people who were healing people. And the disciples said, hey, Jesus, they're not with us. They're not with us. They should be following us. You should tell them to stop doing that. And what did Jesus say to them? Someone tell me. Do we know that story? Jesus said, hey, if they're not against us, they must be for us. Not everyone is going to do things the way you think they should. But it doesn't mean they're not serving God. Americans sometimes get stuck, and same with, we get stuck in our worldview of Christianity. But can I tell you, to go to some other country, they do things differently than we do. I'll tell you this right now. If Pastor Clear all of a sudden said, We're going to move our evening service from 6 to 1 o'clock now. We'll have a little lunch in between. And we'll have. Do you know there's some people who would be emailing him right now? Pastor Johnson, bless God. Hi, Mrs. Johnson. You understand her. She agrees with me. Pastor Johnson said it at 6 o'clock, and we're going to be faithful to that. I love Pastor Johnson, but is it in there? And you'll claim that he's being ungodly for changing a service time? Stop it. Stop it. Somebody comes to church that grew up here, and maybe they aren't wearing what you're wearing. Uh-oh. Good to see you, honey, but you know. What's clearly in the book? What's clearly in the book? My Bible says modesty, yeah. My Bible says some other things, but what's clear? Hey, we all have different preferences. You hear what I just said? And I said this to my church this morning. We were talking about a topic, and the reason why I always hit this, because I'm watching it destroy a lot of churches and a lot of people. I've heard people say, why don't we have young people in our church? Oh, I know, it's because they're backslidden. Some are, but not always. It might just be people are putting an emphasis on things that aren't in the book. Christ said, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If the word of God is preeminent and lifted up, it will draw people to him. No, not if your dress standard is lifted up. Not if your preference is lifted up. No, thus saith the Lord, if I am lifted up. And Christianity has got to understand that. Hey, guys, we're called to spend our time reaching a lost and dying world, not worrying about the pattern of what someone's wearing or not wearing. We are not called to worry about that stuff. Let the Holy Spirit do it, like I've said before. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Let the Holy Spirit do it. And you just worry about the Holy Spirit working on your life. And when we do that, you're going to see a church, a healthy church growth. You're going to see it. But that's not the way I was taught. Well-meaning people don't always teach things exactly how it is in the book. Does it mean that they didn't love God? Nope. Not insulting them. I'm not judging great men and women of the past at all. I'm actually thankful for people like that to stand up. But this might be an area where they could have erred. Last time I checked, there's no perfect human. That makes sense? But there is a perfect God. And you and I need to focus on that. Don't get caught in your religiosity. Don't get caught in it. Don't get caught in things that simply just don't matter. They don't. Now, I'll tell you this. The reality is, 25 years from now, First Baptist Church is going to be different. I pray to God this isn't different. It's going to be different. There's going to be some different things. But you always have to run it through that filter. Does it clearly go against the word of God? And if it doesn't, now you have to chalk it up to, okay, well, there's some things that are part of the priesthood of the believer. There's some things that, you know, I don't know. And depending on your background determines sometimes how you feel about different things. Hey, there's people in my church, my home church, they got saved out of drinking, drugging, all these other things. They were gambling. And I remember one time we were playing a card game at our church for a New Year's Eve party. And someone was highly offended by that. Can I tell you? I personally have been convicted about playing a card game. But they were. So I understand this. When I'm around them, I won't do that because I don't want to offend them. But the same thing can be said. We've all got to learn to stop also being so easily offended by things. And just let people grow. Just let people grow. I think sometimes we forget how it was when we first got saved. Or even, not even just that. Sometimes we don't even give grace to the people that have been saved for a long time. People grow at different paces. You hear what I'm saying? They really do. Different, just they just do. There's people in my home church who've been saved for 20 years. They still smoke. Pastor preaches. But you know what? I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with it. Preach the truth. I'm not, see, first time, whenever people are preaching like this, so you're saying we shouldn't have any, no, I'm not saying, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it. I'm just saying, don't get stuck in religiosity, because your religiosity is probably hindering you from having joy and peace in your life. God has given you some freedom in Christianity. Don't let it hinder you. Don't let it hinder you. He's giving you freedom, liberty. In this passage here, you got to realize the Jews wanted these Gentiles to be circumcised. To basically, they were basically saying, this is what Christianity should look like. Now adapt to these things that Judaism has in it. We do the same thing sometimes. Well-meaning even. Even in our own homes, sometimes with our own kids. We just got to preach the word to our kids, our families. Nurture, guide them as much as we can. Be willing to answer questions. Be willing to look at some things. And if you have a preference in your home, nothing wrong with that. But I think you'd do a disservice when you don't even tell your kids sometimes, hey, this is a preference. Here's what's clearly outlined, but here's my preference. Here's this. Kids can understand that. People can understand that. Hey, there's preferences that Pastor Clear has as the pastor that he says, hey, Brother Sean, I'd like for you to follow them. His preference might be, Brother Sean, I want you to wear a tie when you're up here. Well, maybe I prefer to wear my Adidas shirt and my Nike, you know, sweatpants and, you know, something like that. But he shouldn't get up here and say, bless God, if you wear Nike pants, you're a sinner. Honestly, if you don't wear Nike, you're a sinner. But anyways, no, I'm just kidding. No. So I'll close with this. Don't allow these things to hinder you. Do you know you can actually enjoy being a Christian? Christianity doesn't have to be do's and don'ts. Like too many times this becomes do's and don'ts. Well, you can't do that. And you, no, don't do that. No, no. That's not Christianity. I think Jesus enjoyed his fellowship with the disciples. I think he enjoyed his ministry. You can enjoy yours too. That means when we're in church, it's okay to be like, amen. I enjoy being saved. Not the church is one foundation. I'm enjoying Jesus. Okay, maybe. You could be. It means that when other people don't do things the way you think they should, as long as the man's preaching the book still, you can be okay. And you can enjoy your life. And you don't have to let the little tiny things drive you nuts. Why are you worried about that anyways? You hear what I'm saying to you tonight? And if we'll get that, adopt that attitude, I guarantee you, God will do a work. Because at the end of the day, if COVID hasn't taught us anything, I'll teach you this. At any moment, this building we meet in, we might not be able to meet in it. Do you think anybody cared about what people were wearing at that moment? I didn't.
All I cared about was I wish I could come back to church. See, why does it take God doing something like that to sometimes get us to think? Stop being stuck in religiosity, because you're not only hindering yourself, but you might be hindering others. Let's close in prayer.
For this day, Lord, and I'm not preaching this because I think that necessarily we are like that. I'm preaching because, number one, I think that's what you want me to preach, Lord God, but I see it all over our nation. A lot of young people and old people alike, they're stuck in these different things, whether it's friends, influences, lifestyles, whatever it might be. They're letting those things hinder them from following you, Lord God. The reality is we need to be yielded to your Holy Spirit, and we need to stop letting other things hinder us. Maybe tonight, Lord, there's somebody who's letting their past failures hinder them. We all have those. I pray that they would give that up tonight. For someone, maybe it's hurt. For someone, maybe it's, honestly, just they're just discouraged. But I pray that you'd help us tonight to give those things up, Lord God, and not let anything hinder us from following you. Pastor Clear.